So Stephen's running the preaching team now, and he told me what to preach on. That's like telling Impala where to run when a lion's chasing it. It's impossible. So thank you, Stephen. You're like a lion, I'm like the Impala. But a man walked up to me earlier, and he gave me this very amazing hat. And he said to me, he said, if you put this in water under lights, he said, it takes about 5 minutes, but it'll grow to a normal size hard hat, which is absolutely unbelievable. And I said, that's absolutely amazing. And he said, oh, it's new technology. I said, thank you. And I walked away and he turned around and he said, no, it's actually a bottle opener. But you believe me, hey? You really did believe me, hey, for a moment. You did believe me. I believe in you. His name is Gerard. He's put on this earth to keep me humble. But that's what Colossians is like. We believe a whole lot of rubbish. We believe a whole lot of rubbish. That's the book of Colossians. The Christians started to believe a whole lot of rubbish. And so we have to expose the rubbish and tell them, actually, it's all about Jesus. Amen? So let's have a look. I have to do from verse 1 to 14, Stephen told me. And I've got about 19 minutes. Say Paul, comma.
Paul, comma.
Just Paul, comma.
Paul, comma.
That comma is very important. Because that comma separates who you are from what you do. And in the world that we grow up in, that comma doesn't exist in many of our situations. And so we link people to what they do. We link their worth to what they do. We link their worth to who they are. We link to worth to what. There has to be a comma in our lives if we're going to live with any semblance of peace. Otherwise, you will constantly fight and strive for something that God has already given you. So just say comma.
Comma.
So whatever your name, my name is Rory. I just look at this thing and I say, Rory, comma. Stop. I want you to study the scripture. It'll take you, it is a massive scripture. It's one of the great pictures of Christ because they've got a little bit of a philosophical argument that's coming into Colossae and they're starting to believe nonsense. And Colossians is actually an incredible picture of Christ. Christianity is Christ plus nothing, yeah. Christ minus nothing. Right. That's Christianity. Yeah.
That's it,
Joel. That is Christianity. That is the gospel. And sometimes people say to me, hey, Rory, why are you so tough on culture? I'm not tough on culture. I'm tough on religion.
Yes.
And what happens many times is that religion and culture combine like this. And you don't know the difference between your culture and your religion. And what we try and do here is we try and separate culture and religion and we attack religion. Because religion is this nonsense. And the gospel comes to your culture and saves you as you are.
Sure.
I'll give you an example. I was looking at a picture this week. The European-American influence on South Africa is absolutely massive, including Christian, but they came in here dressed in suits. Now we have got black men sitting in the middle of Africa in the boiling sun wearing suits. Because religion and culture have gripped and they think the way that I serve God is in a suit. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You serve God in the clothes that are comfortable in Africa.
Beautiful.
And we've got to separate that and we've got to kill that so that they can be completely free serving God in whatever T-shirt they wear.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And that thinking comes into us. And people sometimes say to me, you're hard on Afrikaans people. I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be hard on religion. And whether it's English or Afrikaans or black or white, we have to make sure that this thing doesn't jump on us so that it's Jesus plus something or Jesus minus something. It's Jesus, full stop. That's it. With all due respect, friends, and I've got a scripture at my door, you don't need a scripture at your door. The scripture's in your heart. Seriously, the scripture's in your heart. And we have all these paraphernalia things that come into our homes to remind us it's written in your heart. You don't have to celebrate special days. Is it nice to celebrate special days? Awesome. But you don't have to. Jesus fulfilled every day. He fulfilled every day. He fulfilled every law. He fulfilled every scripture. And that should actually set you free. But because we've got this religious thing that jumps, you say, Rory, should we not have scripture in my home? I'm not fighting you with that. But I'm telling you, we add on these things to make ourselves feel more holy when actually Christ is enough. Absolutely enough. So let's read it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Say Christ Jesus. Capital C, capital J. Give him the capital letters in your life and you'll be fine. By the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the holy. Say the holy. He's writing to you, friends. In some of the Bible says to the saints. In some denominations, you have to die and you've got to lead this really godly life and you've got to pray for thousands of hours and you've got to write manuals and you've got to change to be called a saint. And he says to the saints. So he's talking to me, God. He says, I'm talking to you. To the holy. To the saints. To the holy. To the holy. You think, see, what he's doing is establishing our identity so that we don't have to go and establish it ourselves. So you don't have to spend the rest of your life trying to be holy. He's giving it to you as a gift. Who is Christian, Rory, to you? This Congolese man. Who is he? He's holy. Who is Christian to you? He's a saint. Amen? That's why I've got to be careful how we speak about people. Because when God calls them, he calls them holy and he calls them saints. To the faithful, to the believers. Brothers in Christ. Say in Christ.
In Christ.
So I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I want to ask, friends, that for the series on Colossians, that nobody comes up here for prayer. I've noticed over time, I'm spending an hour and a half after every Sunday service praying for people because you have not understood what your identity is. And most times are second, third, fourth time visitors, friends. Please don't come up here. We are bypassing a process and you're thinking that some man of God is going to get you. You are in Christ. You don't need me. You don't need Eugene. You are in Christ. And the person next to you, ask them this question, are you saved? Yes, that means you're holy. That means you believe. That means you're in Christ. Do you mind praying for me?
Yes. Sure. Beautiful.
But the queue stands there every single Sunday. And I'm thinking, I am preaching something that's not in the Bible. Or I'm facilitating something that's not in the Bible. Because you think that I've got a hotline to God. You are in Christ.
Beautiful.
Are you with me, friends? This is radical teaching. A philosophy has entered into Colossae and is completely smoking with God's people and thinking it's Jesus plus a little bit of something else. Amen? I must give up something. I must give up smoking. No, it's just Christ. It's just Christ. I'm in Christ. I am in Christ. And then he says, in Colossae, you see it says there. So I'm in Christ. That's my identity. And then I've got a responsibility. I'm in Pretoria. And let me break it up. So I'm in Christ. I'm in Colossae. I'm in church. Because there's only one church in Colossians. So he wrote to the church. So he says, okay, I've got an identity in heaven, but I've got a responsibility on earth. I'm going to outwork this faith in Pretoria. And then because there's not one church in Pretoria, I might say, and I'm in 3CI. But I want to tell you, friends, I do not believe God gives a hoot about 3CI. Yeah. He gives a hoot about being in Christ. Yes. And what we end up doing is we end up branding this thing. Yeah. And we spend lots of time on logos, Facebook, posts, entertainment, advertisements. I don't believe God is interested in that. He's interested in this. It gets itself outworked through this. And so we have to outwork it somewhere, and we're outworking it here. Yeah. But I want to tell you, young guys, old guys, black guys, rich guys, poor guys, old, Afrikaans guys. You say, hey, Rory, what? No, you're in Christ. And only when we understand that together do we become a little bit of heaven on earth. So stop coming up to the front. You say, Rory, don't you care? I care so much, friend, that I'm killing myself. But don't come up. Because you have to learn how to pray for yourself. You with me? Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Turn to the person next to you and say, grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
People say, what's grace? Grace is oil in an engine. Wind on a calm day in a boat. Sun in the middle of winter. That's grace. It's given to you. It's given to you. Grace and peace. So don't come to the front and say, hey, I'm really battling. Just receive the grace and the peace. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with other people. We haven't even started the book yet. So I know there's a comma. God sees my name, puts a comma. So he's interested in me. I'm holy. I believe. I'm in Christ. By God's grace, I'm in Pretoria. And he's given me grace and peace. There's too much immaturity in the church. We're looking for grace and peace from other people. Instead of receiving it ourselves. Let's go through this quickly. We always thank God the Father. Say thank. Are you a thankful person? Are you? I don't hear enough thanks. Not for me. Just thanks. Thanks, Stefan. And you mean thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. This guy's name is Dennis. The other way around, it's Sind. He stood up here once, put Sind, turned it around, Dennis, comma. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks, Annie. Thanks that the way you decide after 40 years of working to celebrate your retirement was to bring lunch to our staff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your parents giving up their bedroom for me when I was a young whippersnapper. They slept in the lounge on the couch. It taught me about Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that an Indian couple came to a predominantly Afrikaans church. It wasn't really cool, but you stuck. Thank you. Thank you that the Afrikaans people come and put up with my nonsense. Thank you. I'm so deeply grateful. Thank you for paying for this building. Thank you for serving coffee. Thank you that some of you doctors, specialists, get trained how to serve coffee to young whippersnappers. Thank you. It's Colossians. This is the gospel. Amen. Thank you to the egg lady who is teaching her boys about tithing. And I went into the kitchen and then another 5,000 eggs ready to begin. Thank you. Thank you, Damien, for serving God for 20 years in the worship team and Sunday after Sunday, getting up Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, every Thursday night, walking away from your family. Your wife put your children to bed from a little age so that you could train up musicians to lead worship, to take people into the presence of God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, young black man, for learning Afrikaans songs and one day getting dressed up in khaki with khaki pants and a khaki shirt and veldskoens to show the people that you are here to serve them. Thank you.
Thank you.
I always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed for you. Because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope. Say the hope. That is stored up for you in heaven. I don't know if you ever get into a queue, but I was in a queue to fly to Bloemfontein this week. And I thought what I was going to, because I was busy preparing this, I thought I'd just listen to all the conversations around me. And the guys behind me were two directors of a company moaning about their third director. The people in front of me were moaning about their travel arrangements. The people who sat on a plane next to me were moaning about the service. The people who sat, and I just thought, I am absolutely surrounded by moaners. And that starts to penetrate my own heart. But I want to be a person of hope. because my future is secure in heaven. And my circumstances here are not always perfect. But Colossians says, hey, instead of running to the pastor and asking for prayer because your circumstances are not good, why don't you just get hope in your heart for the future? To say God's going to work it all out.
Excellent.
How are we doing?
Very good.
This is a theological book that is offending immaturity. It's a theological book offending and stopping the emotional tug that all of us feel so we can settle our faith. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard about it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Can I show you my wife's garden? When we moved into our house, there was something wrong with the soil. My builder's here, so I can't say it was his fault. My neighbor's also here, so I can't say it was his fault. But that little hole in the wall, I think his paving, when he did paving, his weed killer came through that little hole and affected the soil, and we could grow nothing there. So we had to change the soil, and that's what it looks like in the middle of winter.
Beautiful.
That, friends, is a sign of an unsanctified heart. When you don't know Christ, your heart is like that. Nothing can grow here. But when God touches your heart, he says, holy, believed in Christ, hope, love, faith inside. And he plants the seed and it starts to produce. We're a Russian guy. Hosts a Pretoria family who moved to Cape Town because the fruit starts to grow. Let me show you a few of our partners. Adrian in Stellenbosch.
I've got so much to be thankful for.
That's the first church to be built in Stellenbosch for 50 years. Because a man in this church, who's a director of a building company, bought a piece of land in Stellenbosch, and in the contract he said a little slither of this has to go to the church. All over the world, I'm not worried about buildings. That building is going to be filled with 600 or 700 people. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit. Let me show you our old tent. for those of you from Holland, when you came here, you would have seen that. That looks like 3CR. That's in Benoni now. You can show the inside, please. That's what it looks like. That man and his wife, one of our elders met on the side of a road. And he became part of this church and we planted him out. And now they've got 750 people meeting in our old tent in Benoni. Let me show you our other old tent. That's our other old tent on the field. And they're busy meeting in Belito. Let me show you Portugal. And the next one, please. That is a man, Jeff Kirsten, who grew up, he wrote matric, living in the George Caravan Park because his parents were going through a difficult time. He lived in the George Caravan Park and he wrote matric and he found Christ and he's planted a church in Portugal. I just want to stand here and say to you, 3CR, today, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to you Afrikaans guys. You are the most generous people I've ever met in my life. And your generosity and your commitment to God is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I want to stand here and say thank you. Thank you. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. You know how you know you mature in God? You start to pray. Jesus prayed when he was busy, Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went to pray. His disciples came to him and he said, everybody's looking for you. He said, good, let's go somewhere else, for that's why I've come. He set his priorities in prayer. When John the Baptist died, they came to him and said, John the Baptist is dead. Immediately he withdrew to a lonely place and he prayed. When you're in trouble, don't go to the place of pain, go to the place of healing. And many of you are coming up to the front here because you're in pain. I want to teach you to go to the place of healing. When he fed 5,000, the book of Matthew 14, it says, immediately after feeding the 5,000, he went to a solitary place and he prayed. In the fourth watch of the night. Don't pray popcorn prayers. Learn how to pray. His perspective was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I art on earth and it's pretty tough on earth, Lord God. But you art in heaven. Can you give me your perspective? I've gone over time.
No, great job. Brilliant, Robbie. No,
great job. I'm not sure why I'm so tender today. I want to be a praying man. I want to be a hopeful man. I want to be a thankful man. I want to treat people as holy. I want to show people what it means to be in Christ and in Colossus and in 3CI. Without 3CI, the brand ever gripping, you're greater than Christ grips you. I want to say to every one of you here today, you're holy, you're set apart, you're a saint. You believe. You are chosen, you are loved, you have hope and faith and access through prayer. May God bless you.